Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. We are in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, a miracle has just taken place that has astounded the people. A man who for 40 years had been crippled from birth is now running and jumping and praising God because God has healed him. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. The priests and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, what we have here is a distillation of what Peter preached there to the people. I want you to note that because it tells us what time the miracle happened. Back in the opening verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Notice when the priests and captain of the guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people and were all upset, they seized them, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. So even if this was the dead of winter, which it wasn't, then the day would still have been going on. This was not a 5-minute sermon. This is a summary of what Peter was saying. This is the essence of the message that Peter declared to the people who gathered in astonishment because of what had taken place. So again, get the picture. A man who has been crippled all his life, who has spent his life being carried to the temple and set outside the beautiful gate, is now totally healed. And he's really excited about it. And he's running. And he's jumping up and down. And he's clinging to Peter and John. Wouldn't you? And the crowd comes up to Peter and John, and they're staring at them, trying to figure out what is going on. And Peter says, why are you astonished? Why are you so surprised? Now, if you saw this miracle, would you be surprised? I mean, Jesus did this kind of stuff, and people were amazed by that, but now Jesus is dead and gone. No, he's not. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is alive. My Bible has the heading, Peter heals the crippled beggar. That's not completely accurate. Jesus healed this man. And that's Peter's point when they're trying to explain it to him. I wish the translators had gotten that. They're just trying to be helpful. Well, I mean, on the one hand, this happened through Peter, but where is Jesus these days? He's not in a museum. Well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, I'm glad you know that, but that's not all. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. And that's why he's referred to in the book of Acts, both as the Holy Spirit and as the Spirit of Christ. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's why Jesus was able to say when they said, you think you're greater than Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's why he was able to say to his followers when they're saying, Lord, just show us the Father. He says, if I've been with you so long and you don't know who I am, I tell you the truth, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Why? Isn't there a Trinity? Aren't there three persons in the Godhead? Yes, there are three persons, but they are one. They are one. We don't worship three gods. We worship the one who alone is God, and he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can give you an analogy. I can't. There aren't any. Nothing else in creation is like that. Any of the analogies break down. Because God is greater than that. But God is one, and God is three persons. Well, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. I didn't use it just then, did I? So now, are you saying that Trinity is a bad word? No, I'm saying Trinity is a perfectly good word to describe what Scripture does make clear in the Old and the New Testament. And that is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is one God. Now, Peter said, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare, he says, at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? It's not us It is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And then Peter says, now let's just don't talk about what happened, shall we? No. Peter puts before them what happened, which was that they turned Jesus over to the Roman authorities to be killed. And when Pilate was going to let Jesus go, they said, no, give us Barabbas instead, who was a murderer. Peter confronts them with their sin. Well, I don't think that's very nice. I mean, it's in the past. I think maybe we ought to just move on. You want to move on? Repent. Repent. You have been a rebel against Almighty God. And you're saying you want God's kingdom to come, but you want to be the king. You want to be your own boss. You want to have it your way, do your own thing. That's not going to work. If you're going to enter the kingdom, you've got to be born again. And the purpose of being born again is so that you might enter the kingdom. Jesus says, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you want to be a part of God's kingdom? Well, I don't know. What's it like? Well, he's the king. He's the king. That's what it's like. It's not about geography. It's about who's in charge. Do you want Jesus to rule your life? Do you want him to be your Lord and Master? Let me tell you, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a fact. So, Peter begins to tell them about what they've done. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And it is by faith in the name of Jesus that this man whom you see and know was made strong. This is not somebody who was an actor paid to come to a healing service so that they could appear to get healed. That does happen, by the way. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. And then he says, this is grace. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That's the reason. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. But then he says this, let's be very clear. There are only two alternatives. Jesus came in fulfillment of God's promises. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Everybody's favorite verse is John 3:16. Not as popular is the end of John chapter 3. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects, also translated, does not obey the Son, will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. I can't believe you used the W word. Wrath? Yeah. God's wrath remains on those who do not put their trust in Jesus. It's not just you're going to miss your best life now. It is extremely unpopular, practically forbidden to talk about people burning in hell. But Jesus did. Are we trying to be more loving than Jesus? Or do we just not want to end up on a cross? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that. So why in the world would we want to say, okay, I know he knows the future. I don't know the future, but I know he knows the future. And he says, this is what I ought to do. But I'm just not sure I can trust him. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He hadn't done anything wrong, but you had, and he took the punishment for all of it so that you wouldn't have to. Can you trust him? He loves you perfectly. Our parents don't love us perfectly. I love my kids. I love my wife, but my love is not perfect. God's love is perfect, absolutely perfect. And he says, trust me. And he's proven that he's trustworthy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Peter's preaching and he says, anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Please notice that Peter quotes that. Because God was reminding Peter and the rest of the early church that this isn't just for Jews. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus isn't just for Jews. He's certainly not just for this denomination or this denomination or this denomination. There are going to be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation who are going to be worshiping around the throne. This message, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. That promise means that you and I can be a part of the blessing. We get to be saved because of God's grace. I mean, I don't know what percentage of this congregation is Jewish, but I suspect it's under 5%. And therefore, we need to be thanking God that the gospel has been taken to the ends of the earth. We're at the ends of the earth. If you look at a globe and you mark Israel and you go over to where we are in Tennessee, that's a pretty long way. The gospel's made it here and a bunch of us have gotten saved. Hallelujah. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Again, the message is repent. Turn. Don't keep going the way you're going. Don't just think, oh, I'm going to move on. No, repent. Turn. And the priests and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees were the professional theologians who worked there in the temple and ran things, and they were the theological liberals. The Pharisees were extremely conservative, okay? The Pharisees memorized a ton of scripture. The Sadducees, not so much, because they had decided that scripture isn't really true. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in a literal devil. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so this whole thing about Jesus being resurrected from the dead kind of blows their theory out of the water, okay? And they did not like the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed to the people, because that is a double whammy on them. Not only did they not believe in the resurrection, but they also were responsible for pushing for Jesus' death. So it's like, if these people believe this, it's going to cast us in a bad light. So they said, please don't do this. No, they seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. You had 120. You had 3,000. Apparently, it was close to 2,000 who got saved this day. That's just the men. That's just the men. The church was growing. And it was growing because Jesus was making it grow. The church was growing because lives were being changed when people heard the good news and believed. You can hear the good news and not believe. You can hear the good news and believe intellectually. We've known more than a few people, sadly, across the years, who have, by their own admission, have said that they believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they weren't ready to yield their lives to him. I'm telling you, folks, God sees the heart. And that's why at the end of John chapter 3, I emphasized the fact that that phrase can rightly be translated, does not obey him. Because it's obedient faith that is saving faith. So we're saved by obedience? No, we're saved by Jesus when we trust in him. And when we trust in him, it manifests in obedience. That's why we're told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're not negotiating with God. You're manifesting what God is doing within. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. I want you just to honestly go before the Lord right now and ask him to show you the true condition of your heart. Are you trusting in Jesus? Do you want to be a part of his kingdom? If you're not sure that you're really saved, ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. It's not something we pump up. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come and say, well, if you're good enough, I'll save you. We're not good enough. And he said, I've come to save you. I love you. I want you to trust me. Repent, therefore, and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.